I'm Joe Wood, and I believe.
Summer 1981, above one of the Great Lakes in eastern North America, Captain Phil Schultz is piloting TWA Flight 842, eastbound from San Francisco to JFK in New York. Over Lake Michigan, Schultz and his co-pilot see a large, round, silver-looking object suddenly descend upon them. They describe it as having six large black jet ports. The pilots brace for impact, but the object makes a sharp, high-speed turn, narrowly missing their plane. Schultz calculates the object's approach and departure speed to be over 1,000 miles per hour, but caused them no shockwave or turbulence. As an experienced Navy jet fighter pilot, as well as commercial airline pilot, Schultz never believed in UFOs. Until then, there is no doubt in my mind, he said later, it was an extraterrestrial craft.
Welcome to Alien Nation, the ongoing series about extraterrestrials and UFOs, which asks the question, are we alone? I'll be talking to celebrities and everyday people who also believe and have their own incredible stories to share. We'll talk about well-documented cases, we'll examine the theories and the counter-theories, but mostly we'll just share our own personal experiences together. So get in touch with your own stories. I'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. My guest today is a distinguished professor of history at Citrus College in Glendora, California. He is the author of several books on the paranormal and aliens and a commentator on The Shadows of History, hosted by Robert Englund, better known as Freddy Krueger. Welcome to Alien Nation, Dr. Bruce Solheim.
Oh, thank you.
So tell me your story. You've had contact with aliens all your life, you say.
Well, since as far as I can remember, back to the first contact would be in 1964. So I was 6 years old.
Yeah.
And part of it, I remember some stuff, and I remember always being interested from that early age in space and outer space and you know, that was the time of John Glenn and the you know, the early part of the space program.
Yeah.
And I even had like a little rocket ship space, like a night light next to my bed. So I was always interested in, there was something strange about my bedroom window. I was that faced the backyard, and our backyard kind of went up on a slope to the top of the hill. And on top of our hill in Seattle at our home was a Nike site, you know, a Nike missile site. That were, during the Cold War, they were used to counter the Russian threat, you know. So there, some of them had nuclear missiles, some had conventional missiles. And I'm never quite sure whether our site had nuclear missiles or not. I assume they did. But anyway, so I always had this fear of the back window, and and especially at night. And then I had memories of bright lights, you know, in the backyard, but I was too afraid to go out there. And then I knew there was something strange, but I didn't really know exactly what was going on. I think the whole thing was kind of blocked. And I had these kind of vague memories. And then I did a hypnotherapy session with Yvonne Smith, who's a world-renowned hypnotherapist. She deals almost exclusively with people that have had alien contact. And then it started to make sense to me. And what was going on was that there was I had seen a ship back there, a triangular ship, and it was a golden ship. And then I had these unblocked memories started to come back, and I was on this ship, and I was shown the controls of the ship. So from a very early age, I was interested in space. I was interested in being a pilot, which I ended up actually being a pilot, not an astronaut like I really wanted to be. But and I met this you know, I would call him an alien, you know, an extraterrestrial.
Yeah.
Well, there's kind of more to the story in that it wasn't an abduction. It was, I wanted to go. So that's kind of one thing. I know there are some people who tell stories of, you know, it's a negative thing, it's a terrible thing. In my case, it was a very positive thing. And it was not just positive, it was actually kind of a rescue. Because as it turned out, the people that lived on the hill above us, the man up there, he was turned out to be a child molester. So I was always afraid to go up there. And when I was younger, you know, probably about six or so at that age, or maybe a little before, my parents would have me go up there because they were friends of theirs. And
Oh my God.
And I would go up to their house and play with their kids. But that I had these vague memories and as the of what it was like. And when I retrieved these memories, I remember that the man there of the house, his wife often wasn't home. She was a real estate agent or whatever, never home. And he was often in charge of the kids. Well, us kids would be in the basement and he would be playing these bizarre games, like giving us these little Dixie cups, you know, these little paper cups of odd smelling liquid. And I never wanted to drink it. And now I know what it was alcohol. That's what he was doing.
Oh,
and he had this weird, weird, creepy game where he would go into a closet and have us, you know, try to find him. Of course, it wasn't really hide and seek. We knew where he was. He wanted the kids to go into the dark closet with him. And I never did. I was too afraid. And actually, I've been afraid of closets ever since. And I never have my closet doors closed. They're always open so I can see what's going on in there. But anyway, so that's what this guy was doing. And my brother confirmed this a couple years ago. He told me that he was at a Sons of Norway event because we're Norwegian, and in Seattle, and he met the sister of this lady, the wife of this child molester guy, and she said, "Where are they? You know, where they moved, where'd they go?" And he said, "Well, we don't talk to them anymore." Turns out he was arrested for molesting children, so there was a very good reason why I was afraid to go, you know, to that backyard, and it wasn't the alien, it was the it was this child molester. Now luckily I was never molested by this guy, but I mean that's I think it was a rescue. It was and then as I figured it out, that was the first experience.
So you think the aliens were sort of protecting you from this guy?
For whatever reason. And I'm not really sure.
It's funny you should say all that, because you just brought back a memory of mine. When I was a kid, I always used to think I was being watched, walking down the hill, going to school. There was somebody watching me in the back window when I was in the bathroom, and I used to try and turn around to see if I could catch them out. I never knew what it was, I used to think, you're mad, Joe, you know, I was only about seven, but I was convinced I was being watched all the time.
Yeah. So I wasn't afraid. In fact, I've never really been afraid of the experiences I've had. I've had three other experiences that I know about. There could be others that are yet to be uncovered, you know, but because these things kind of follow you throughout your life. Having, you know, done a lot of reading and talked to a lot of folks that are that have had contact.
So why do you think they wanted to save? Well, you don't know really why they wanted to save you and keep you away from them.
I have a feeling. I have a feeling, and that there are certain people on this planet who are of alien origin. And maybe it's more than just a few. I know if you look at blood types, there's kind of interesting scientific research done on blood types. That about 15% of the human race are Rh negative.
Mother is rhesus negative.
Yeah. Rh, so rhesus negative. So what that means is that it's a the most 85% of the people are Rh positive, rhesus positive, and that has to do with the rhesus monkeys. So in other words, monkeys, apes, all have positive type blood, and there's this 15% that don't, which is very odd.
My mom. That's why I love aliens and UFOs so much.
It's awesome, and so I don't know if that's part of it. Some people think that's what it is, but also the feeling of being. There's the idea of being chosen or being, you feel a little, I've always felt not odd, like, you know, there's something wrong with me, but, you know, a little different than everybody else. Like I could talk to adults when I was a little kid, you know, that type of thing. Not that I was a genius or anything, but just that I was able to communicate with people that were older than me. And often I felt comfortable with them, which is not necessarily a good thing for a little kid, but And my playmates noticed that the types of things I like to do, like I was so obsessed with flying, with space, you know, with monsters and aliens. And I watched all those scary movies on, you know, sci-fi movies and stuff. And they weren't always so interested in that. So yeah. I think there was always something different. And I think that's what you were talking about, that you felt like there was something different from the beginning. And yeah. I think some people are chosen for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I think there is a reason in that, you know, I mean, all the stuff that's coming out now, there's it's kind of like it. It always used to be kind of just a dribble here and there. But now the last 2 years, there's been more of a stream of information coming out. And even government agencies like here in the United States and the U.S. Navy releasing protocols for pilots, you know, on how to report UFOs, and Lou Elizondo and people like that who are not whistleblowers, but just people that are bringing this information forward. So it's become more getting into the mainstream, kind of trickling into the mainstream media.
Yeah, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to do this and talk to you like this. People would have thought
exactly.
We were completely mad, but
yeah,
now,
just a two-way out.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, I remember talking to my friends about a UFO I saw, and they all just looked at me like I was crazy. I said, I promise you, I really did see a UFO. But yeah, I find it absolutely fascinating, and I love it that people are talking about it now. It's so, I just love it, because when you think of the bigger picture, there's no way in the world that no way in the universe we could be alone.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the idea, you know, that there are aliens, or the idea that we're alone, I think it was Arthur C. Clarke that said the either prospect is equally terrifying. You know, either we're alone or or there are people, you know, entities here already.
So. Yeah. So do you remember has anything come up in your talks when you are hypnotized? Can you remember anything that being with the aliens and what they have said to you or anything like that?
Yeah. Yeah. I had three other experiences that I remember that I had some memory of, and then deeper memories and were retrieved during hypnotherapy. And one of them was in 1973. And I always thought it was because what the extraterrestrials do, they kind of put screen memories up. So you get kind of fuzzy, you have fuzzy memories. You think it's something else, but when you really dive down deep into it, you find out it is some kind of alien thing. And in 1973, I had an experience where I was taken, and I have in my very clear images of a reptilian kind of creature.
Oh.
And then small grays and taller grays. The taller grays are kind of in charge. In 1973, there was actually a kind of an insect-like creature. And I remember him, and now it could have been very terrifying, but he said that, I remember him telling me that this is some kind of special processing. I remember being taken up into a ship that was very, very clear, the image I have in my mind of like a pylon in the center of the ship that kind of flared out at the top, kind of like a fancy column, you know what I'm saying? Mm. And then at the top, there is these triangular windows that I could see the stars through. It was beautiful. I mean, it really was beautiful. I was fascinated by it. But there I was, and there was these grays around me who were very kind of clumsy and not really, I think they were being directed. I know they were being directed by this, I call him a bug doctor.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like the cross between a praying mantis and a Jerusalem cricket. You know, he's very, you know, bug-like face, whatever.
Yeah.
But he is super intelligent. He's like a doctor. And he's telling me not to be afraid, that I'm there for special processing. And so I had these memories of that. Now, there were some kind of instruments that were kind of floating around, and there was pressure on me. But I don't remember shrieking in pain or anything like that. You know, it was just completely fascinating. I didn't know what was going on. But the interesting thing is what I was telling my so this was from 1973. I was telling my cousin who lives in San Diego. She's also a person who has had alien contact. Mm-hmm. And I was telling her the story about the bug doctor from 1973. And we were sitting in a restaurant in San Diego, outside restaurant, very nice restaurant on the water there. And all of a sudden, behind her, there was this conduit, like this pipe coming down from the ceiling on like a, and it was, had a, I don't know what you'd say, like an outlet, an electrical outlet on it. You know how sometimes they just kind of pipe in this kind of electricity there. Well, it was swinging wildly back and forth as I was talking about this bug doctor. And, and there was no reason for it to be doing that. We were outside, but there wasn't any wind or anything. So, and nobody had walked by and bumped into it. So as soon as I stopped talking about the bug doctor, it stopped. And she noticed the movement too. So I went over there and I tried to move it myself. So it didn't move very easily. So it was obviously a very strong force. And so I got this feeling like maybe I'm not supposed to be talking about this. And I actually had, after that happened, I had a, in the middle of the night, I woke up and I heard this voice, and it was the voice of this, you know, obviously telepathic voice or whatever, but the bug doctor telling me, oh, so now you think you know what's going on. It was kind of a mocking tone.
Oh, my goodness.
So now you think you know what's going on, you know. So it's like, oh, you're a big shot now, you know, that kind of a thing.
How interesting.
So, yeah, so those, that was another experience that I've had. And I've had two other ones, too. But that one, I guess, could be considered frightening. But still, I don't really have... I mean, it was ominous that he would say that, and I'm not exactly sure what his purpose was, other than he said, he admonished the little grays, and he said, you guys are clumsy, you know, be careful with him. This is special processing, and so, yeah.
Isn't that interesting? I wonder what it is they've got, what it is the reason why they are doing this to you, and why you get abducted. They must be keeping a check on you. I don't know. I find it fascinating.
I wish I knew. There's all kinds of theories, you know, and everybody has, you know, and some of the theories sound very logical, you know, like maybe it's some kind of DNA type stuff. Maybe they're tracking us for whatever reason because of the Rh negative blood. And you see the research that's done, the statistics, they show that the largest majority of abductees, like 36% of them, have Oh negative, O negative blood.
Oh,
which,
really?
I'm A negative, but still, you know, this idea of Rh negative. Now, that's why I think it's kind of a reunion in a sense, you know, that I think there's alien origins, so they're tracking, you know, how things are going and doing whatever the special processing is. I didn't have a chance to ask the bug doctor what that was.
So have you been abducted recently?
No, I haven't, but I do have contact, and I'm also, I know it's kind of interesting when I start talking about this stuff. Yeah. I know with you, you're very open-minded, but I have to be careful sometimes because I'm a college professor, you know, and there's always you run a risk of, as somebody told me once, you run the risk of academic suicide, you know, by talking about these things. Yeah. And I said, I can't help it. I got to talk about what's happened, and it's time to do so. And
three years ago,
I made that decision. But my whole life, I've had not only these, and this is very common for abductees, is to have, you know, psychic abilities, you know, psychic experiences. And my mother was very psychic, too, and she was O negative blood. Anyway, so I've had telepathy and telekinesis, and mediumship seems to be the kind of thing that just happens to me. And, you know, this idea that I can connect with those folks that have passed on. And I don't do it for a living. You know, I'm a college professor. I don't, you know, hang up a sign and, you know, free readings or whatever. Yeah. I just do it for friends and colleagues and relatives who want me to contact folks. But I seem to be able to do it pretty easily.
Oh, how fantastic. Well,
but what happened in 1997, go back to the alien thing, was that I had a vision of a very clear vision and a conversation with somebody that called themselves the progenitor. That was what they called themselves. And the idea I had is he was an ancient mystic. And I've contacted lots of people through mediumship, and I don't know always who they are. And he presented himself as kind of a proto-human, you know, kind of, you know, not like modern man, but like early man, you know, kind of a thing. And he told me some very interesting things, basically, you know, that there's more than what you're being told, you know, in the world. And it was very philosophical, you know, this idea that we're all connected, and that the universe is there's many dimensions to the universe. And he said some interesting things, like the bargain for love is hate, the bargain for war is peace. You know, this idea, it's kind of a yin yang kind of thing. That's why I thought it was very philosophical.
Yeah.
But I didn't really truly comprehend it. And I remember telling a colleague of mine, this is where I kind of got gun shy about this whole thing. I told a colleague of mine 2 years after that experience, and she didn't laugh at me, but she said, "Oh, you're a pretty spacey dude." You know? And I said, "Okay, I've just kind of shut down." And then about 3 years ago, a friend of mine died, and a dear friend of mine from Seattle, also Norwegian American, and he came to me in a vision and told me, this is 3 years ago, told me, "Now's the time to tell your stories. Don't be afraid. It's the good time to do it." That was 3 years ago in September of 2016. And I proceeded then to take all the stories, all the things that have happened to me, and put them into, now I've published two books, my timeless series of books, yeah. And told these stories of the paranormal, of you know, alien contact, and I got a third one coming out next year. So
fantastic! I'll get that.
Yeah. So, and the idea is that I've recontacted the progenitor, and I found out who he is, and he is an ancient mystic, but he's an ancient alien mystic.
Oh, fantastic! And
so I'm in regular contact with him, which I know sounds strange, but he tells me certain things, like he's given me a few warnings about what's to come. You know, that there are some a series of events that will be occurring. You know, he didn't give specific dates because there's so many variables, you know. Mm. And so I've made preparations that I hadn't made before. Like one thing I did, because my wife is asthmatic and relies on a machine,
yeah.
You know, sometimes I got a generator, so she's always protected. You know, we got a little extra food and water around, you know, just things that can happen. And you know, we just had a series of serious earthquakes here in Southern California last week, just a week ago. So you know, there, that's always on the horizon. But there's, you know, the climate change stuff going on, the biological yeah. stuff that's going on. I know you're interested in, I read somewhere that you're interested in what's happening to honeybees.
Oh, yes, you know? Definitely. Honeybees, I'm interested in, about our planet so much.
Yes.
It's really important to me.
I'm totally with you on that, because there's such a delicate balance. You know, bees are responsible for about, you know, one third or more of our food stuff. It'd be a pretty bland diet if we didn't have honeybees and other pollinators. And and I actually was inspired to write a children's book about honeybees. I called it Ali's Bees. And it's this is the kind of stuff that you get inspired by when you make these contacts. You realize that there's a much bigger, picture out there. It's not just the mundane things day to day. There's a whole universe. And my theory, that I've come up with is that all these experiences are tied in together. I think the spirit world, the so-called paranormal world, the quantum world that scientists explain to us, you know, quantum physics, and the alien world are all really the same. They're not separate things. They all operate in the same realm. And it's a realm that usually on our daily conscious living we don't recognize, and we're going to have to recognize it if we're going to survive as a species.
Yes, I think so too.
I think that's why what they're doing is trying to help us.
Yes, understand. I'm sure they're trying to help us. I was just going to ask you that, they're on our side for sure, and I think the more we talk about that, the less fear people will have, because I think a lot of what goes on today is all based on fear. You know, and people think they're coming down, and that if they wanted to do something to us, they would have done it a long time ago, and they can do it very easily. So I think this is a gradual way of getting people to accept that there's other life forms out there, and they're here to help us and want us to thrive rather than kill this beautiful planet that we live on.
It is a very beautiful planet, and I think they totally recognize that, and we are their progeny. You know, we are connected to them. I think there are some that are maybe less friendly than others.
Reckon that's the reptilians?
I think the reptilians are not necessarily friendly, but I think that we have enough protectors and friendly folks that that are also looking out for us. At least that's what my ancient mystic alien tells me. His name is Anzar, by the way, in case
Anzar.
You're interested. Yeah, oh, A-N-Z-A-R. Yeah.
Can you see him when you have contact with him?
Yeah, he pretty much has that proto-human, you know, look. And I asked him about it, and he said, well, he can change his look. It doesn't matter. He just chose that one because that was the first contact that he had had. He was the original alien contact. That's what he tells me. That's why he called himself the progenitor. You know, the beginning of us, you know, being modern man, so yeah. Modern human beings. So, I do see him. And mediumship, I see, I hear, and I can smell sometimes. I feel things, you know, there's many different ways to connect, but it's usually audio. Sometimes I have like when people are talking to me in the spirit world, which is the alien world, which is the quantum world, yeah. I actually see writing in front of me. Sometimes. So it's different. There's different ways in which they communicate. Sometimes it's symbolic and you have to kind of interpret what it means, but it is all connected. And
it must be
very exciting.
Yeah, I think it's really exciting. And I love it that you have had such great experiences. I think it's so interesting. And how does your wife feel about this?
That's an interesting question because she's very supportive, supportive, but she is not on board in terms of she hasn't had these experiences. Well, she's had like minor things, you know, but nothing major like I've had. So she is kind of agnostic, I guess is the best way to say it. She's not totally on board, but she's not, you know, she's very supportive of what I'm doing because I'm writing these books and giving lectures, and I even teach a paranormal class, which includes, you know, alien contact and UFOs and at the college, that which is weird that the college would let me do it, because when I came out with the book, I thought I was going to be fired. You know, the first book, I thought, oh, they're going to think I'm nuts and get rid of me. But
what was your first book called?
Timeless, A Paranormal Personal History.
Okay.
And then the second one just came out, and it's also, it's a timeless series. It's a trilogy. So it's called Timeless Deja Vu.
Yeah.
And then next year will be Timeless Trinity. It'll be the most spiritual in a sense in that this reunion aspect of it's going to be a lot about extraterrestrials and UFOs. Yeah. That'll be the third book. So I took it in steps, in bites. You know, the first book I tested the water, second one a little bit further, third one's going to let it all hang out. It's just going to, like what we're talking about right now, it's going to, that's what we're going to be, what's going to be revealed in the third book. The college board let me start teaching a paranormal class. It gets filled up every semester. People are hungry to have a forum, a safe forum where people aren't going to ridicule them or make fun of them, to share these stories. And what I do is I kind of provide a theoretical framework of understanding. So that it's not just a random series of events. I have this paranormal, this ghost experience, this alien experience. Let's all put it together. Let's see what scientists are saying. Let's see what the research shows. Let's see what other people are saying and see if we can get a framework of understanding. So they get the safe opportunity to express themselves and tell their stories and also kind of understand it in a broader context. So
yeah, I think we've come so far from religion now that people want to have something else to believe in, the truth to believe in, really.
Yeah.
Because when you analyze the Bible, you realize they was just seeing aliens and it was all... That was all about that, really. But how do they express something like that in the Bible? They had no idea that that sort of thing could happen. So, of course, God, who came down to the earth, is actually, of course, is an alien. And, they didn't know that then, did they? I mean, if I was living a life in the middle of the jungle, knew nothing else, and I saw a plane go overhead, I think, oh my God, what's happened? It's the end of the world. So I understand why.
People assume the worst, they get frightened, you know.
And
I think that's part of the problem, that the information, and that's what I've been told by Anzar too, is that we're giving a little bit of information at a time. And even me, who made this contact for whatever reason, you know, he said, well, I'm not going to tell you everything at once. We're just going to, I think it's called metering the information, you know, just
a little bit at a time.
So you don't get too blown away. Otherwise you get to a boggle point and then you just can't, oh my gosh, I just can't
put it
together.
Absolutely. Gosh, it's been so interesting to talk to you. I'd love to talk to you again when your third book comes out.
Yes, yeah, and that'd be great. And then I also have a comic book coming out, interestingly enough. It'll come out by December, and it's kind of interesting in that the character, Snark is the name of the character. He's an alien, human-alien hybrid, and the comic book is for all ages, and it's illustrated by a friend of mine named Gary Dumm, who's been around since the early 70s illustrating comic books. And anyway, so this comic book will come out, and I think it'll help even younger audiences kind of, you know, put it into perspective what's going on. This character, the Snark character, is actually he's a hybrid. So he comes here ostensibly to, you know, prepare Earth for like an invasion or whatever. But it turns out that he's very nice and friendly, and he's trying to help Earth people. So
yeah,
that's what the comic book's about. So I'm trying to approach it from many different angles.
The kids will love that.
I think they will.
Definitely. I've got a little grandson who's completely obsessed with aliens, UFOs.
Yeah.
And he is obsessed. He's, you know, everybody says, oh, just like his granny. and I love that about him. So he'd love that. I'll look out for that.
Yeah, my grandson, he loves spaceships already and robots. He loves spaceships and robots. And, you know, it's probably partly hereditary.
Yeah, it's hereditary, isn't it? I'm so proud of the fact. I thought I might talk to him on my podcast, actually.
You should. Yes, that would be fun.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Bruce, for talking to me.
Thank you, Jill.
You got my mind going crazy.
Okay. We'll just keep doing what we're doing. You're doing wonderful work with your show. I mean, you're part of what's called the ground crew. We're down here trying to help everybody.
Yes.
Trying to help the extraterrestrials help us. You know, we have to be facilitators and prepare people. And that's the important work that we're doing. And the environmental stuff, it's all tied together.
Yeah, it's all tied together. It's all to make a better planet, healthier planet, and open people's minds.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Well, it's been really great talking to you. And
Thank you, Joe.
I'd love to talk to you again when your book comes out. It'd be really brilliant.
Okay, we'll
do. And in the meantime, I'm going to get your books.
Okay. Yeah, you check out Ally's Bees. It's written for middle grade readers, but I think little younger readers could read it, and adults too. And it's a really kind of a charming story about an Iraqi refugee boy who comes to Los Angeles, and his grandfather is a beekeeper and teaches him about life through the bees.
Oh, how lovely!
It's kind of a cool book, and kids like it.
Oh, great! Oh, yeah. That's really brilliant. Thank you, Bruce.
Well, thank you, Joe. I really enjoyed our conversation.
That's our show for today. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please rate us on whatever platform you get your podcast from. It helps people like you find us. Today's show was produced by Mike Hansen for Pod People Productions. Theme music by Mike Hansen and Jamie Allen. Special thanks to Nigel Heath. And our narrator, Mike Hansen Sr. If you want to share your stories, we'd love to hear from you. Just email info@podpeopleproductions.co.uk. Subject matter, alien nation. Beam me up next time. I'm Joe Wood. And I believe.